Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Bros Pod is, of course, brought to you by BetOnline. They're back and better than ever. A new interface for the rest of the NBA season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. So head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BLEAV50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Everybody, welcome to another version of Bill Roden on Sports. Bill Roden, upstate New York, on this chilly December afternoon as we're, you know, hurtling toward Christmas. And sure, Jamal Murphy, my friend and co-host down in Brooklyn, getting ready for Santa Claus. I know that your sons are like chomping at the bit for Santa Claus. So how's it going?
It's going. Yeah, you just reminded me. I got to go to Target and pick some stuff up and sneak it in the house. So
Target?
Yeah, <that's, laughs> I got to go to Target.
The kids don't play that stuff. Only on Target shopping for me.
Hey, man, you know, they got some nice stuff there, you know, some, you know, like bikes and stuff like that, you know.
So what is Santa Claus going to get?
Yeah, I'm, you know, like I said, I'm looking at Santa Claus is looking at a little bike for Kareem. Got to make sure he doesn't listen to this podcast. Got to keep him away from the keep him away from this podcast. But you know, and then you know, just more toys for the little one to further clutter up the house.
Right, exactly. Funny. You got, when are you going to get him the dog? Oh, you already got a dog, right?
No, we had a dog, Coco. It was a small dog, a cockapoo. It was really my wife's dog, I like to say. But unfortunately, Coco passed a few months to a year ago. So there has been talk of getting another dog. I'm not really an animal person, you know. And then I get stuck with the
duties
of walking the dog at night and all that kind of stuff. But you know, I'll cave on that one, you know. It's good. I guess it's good for the kids and, you know, the wife's the boss as usual.
Yeah. Well, it's unusual, you know, the wife wants one. Usually it's the guy who wants the dog. The wife is like, you know, okay.
Yeah. Not here. I could do without all animals.
Yeah. Well, forget that. This is going to be your dog.
Right.
The coldest day of February. And the dogs are right there. They come right to the bed.
Yeah, they don't play around. They know how to get in the way for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a relatively slow sports week, except although it's few days late. But we have to talk about the New England Patriots' victory over Buffalo on Monday Night Football. Everybody still talk about it. Who would have thought that a game where there's only four passes and supposedly a pass-happy league, this guy, Belichick, decides to run the ball 40-something times, only three passes. Right. And I'm sure that people are like, did they punt? Did they just punt Buffalo? You know, I mean, they just said, fuck it, man. We know you guys can't defend a run. Yeah, and you're trying to force it. I mean, it was amazing. At first, I'm like, look at the first half. So is this guy going to throw? He may have thrown once.
Hey, like, no, he's not.
I'm like, wow, man, it's pretty amazing. I don't know if it set the game back or now everybody's going to start running the ball. You know, everybody's going to start getting back to running the ball. Running backs are going to see their value go up because you can see what happens if you could just basically run the ball down somebody's throat.
Right. I mean, it was a fascinating game to me. You know, like I was like, yo, I couldn't believe this. I've never seen a game like that as far as I can remember.
Since 1922.
Right. I wasn't around then. So I'm not used to this. And especially, like you said, nowadays it's pass happy.
Right.
You know, running backs don't even matter anymore. And you had this happen. And it was just fascinating. There were so many storylines coming out of this to me. It's like you said, did they punk the Bills? Why couldn't the Bills stop this? You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. Belichick, just like, you know, what kind of ego do you have to even try something like this? And it was a close game. What if they lost? Like, what if they lose by, you know, Buffalo had a chance at the end. What if they lose? Like, what is Belichick saying then? You couldn't throw the ball a couple times. And then Mac Jones, are you showing confidence in him? Was that a good thing for Mac Jones? Are you saying, you know, everybody's been heaping all this praise on Mac Jones. He's so great for a rookie. Right. He's so smart. He's so accurate, but you don't trust him to throw the ball more than three, four times in a game?
No, he doesn't. That's what he's saying, is that I know that you got this great secondary and you're waiting to devour this guy, you know, and guess what? I'm not going to let you, you know? And I guess you run, they say, wait a minute, they can't stop the fucking run. You know, again, I mean, you know, third and 15, third, I mean, ridiculous situation that you run and make it and get it.
God. Yeah, no, it was crazy. I kept waiting for like the play action pass.
Right.
And I was like, once he ran about 8, 9, 10, I was like, okay, it's coming. They're going to play action, deep throw, touchdown or something. But no, it never happened. And it's so funny to me that Mac Jones, you know, he's like a cause now, you know, like, you know, for people who are pro Mac Jones, he's so smart, this and that, you know, prototypical quarterback, you know, doesn't run, all this kind of stuff. So it's almost like he's a cause for people's beliefs now. But it was so funny, the spin that came from, I heard some outlandish spin coming from people from a Mac Jones fan saying, oh, well, you know, it takes a special kind of quarterback to allow that, to not complain about it and to just go with it. And still, he still led his team to victory. I'm like, what?
Right. He's not like these black guys. Yeah, these black guys running all over the place, you know, give me this guy anytime.
Right. And I'm like, Belichick would have never done that. Maybe in that first year that Brady took over, right? I guess you can only do that to like a young rookie quarterback unless he's just not good.
I didn't hear what Aaron Rodgers or anybody said. I was curious what the old guys said about that.
Well,
if they were in a game and they would not, and said, no, we're not letting you pass. You know, we're not letting you pass, you know?
Well, I was watching, you know, I watch on, for Monday Night Football now, I watch the Peyton Manning brothers. I watch that simulcast of the game because I like to hear Peyton and Eli talking football. You know, I mean, two great players. You know, so you get a lot of insight into it. And it was funny, their reaction, they were basically making fun of the situation. They were making fun of Mac Jones, like, oh, he must be really tired from handing the ball off every time. Damn, can you get one pass? Like, you know, I don't think they could believe it. They couldn't believe it.
And because I saw it twice. I taped it. I watched the regular game first. And then I watched the Manning. I'm not quite sure how I feel about that.
The
Manning. Yeah, I don't know. Because, you know, they're going to put somebody out of business, the Monday Night Crew. But at the end, they said, he didn't even have to shower. He'd get right on the plane. You know, Mac Jones getting right on the plane. He didn't have to shower. They were kind of, you're right, they were kind of fucking with him, you know. Because, I mean, the shit has never happened. Right. You have to go back to, like, 1975 or some shit, you know. Right.
Yeah, they were fucking with him. They were like, you know, a couple times they said, you know, he did a beautiful job handing that ball off.
Yeah.
Perfect handoffs. Great form on that handoff. So, I mean, it was really unbelievable. It's funny that you talk about the Manning show in general. I mean, they're both on ESPN, you know, ESPN and ESPN2. It's almost like, you know, I don't watch the regular broadcast anymore. So it's definitely taking eyes away from the main broadcast. It's a weird dynamic that, you know, it's the same channel doing this. You're doing this to one show, to promote the other.
Cannibalizing.
Yeah.
I wonder what the three guys in the booth, including the one brother who's there.
Right. Louis Riddick.
Louis Riddick, you know, I'm wondering what they think. I know I read some comments, and they're all polite.
Right.
But I'm like, you're basically grabbing viewers, and then you're getting like fucking, you know, next thing you'll get like fucking Donald Trump on the fucking show, you know.
That's true. That's true. I'll boycott it then. I'll go back to the main. If they bring Trump on, I'll watch the main.
I'm sure it came up. Somebody said, no, we can't do that.
Right. I hope.
Somebody may have thought, what would you think if somebody said, no, bad idea.
they'll get canceled by 50% of the country.
Yeah, they had David Letterman on. So it's kind of unique. It's a unique concept, you know. Yeah. I'm just, you know, but it's only those two guys, I guess. Now, maybe what they'll do next is they'll have, when Tom Brady found it, or maybe they have Tom Brady do it.
Well, he was a guest on.
Aaron Rodgers.
He was a guest on Tom Brady a couple of times. No, one time.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was on it like a few weeks ago. They've had all kinds of people. Yeah, Draymond Green was on there. You know, I saw
that one.
Yeah, they get whoever they pretty much want.
So, except guess who they did not get?
Mac Jones.
They didn't get Mac Jones.
He declined.
I saw on this telecast, he said something. Eli said something. Yeah, the guy didn't text me back or something like that. he made miss it, but he got blown off by his rookie.
Right. So, you know, I mean, Belichick is molding him. That's what it sounds like to me.
There's no love lost between Manning and Belichick. I mean,
no.
Yeah, I'm sure they had. I mean, they had their knockdown, drag out battles.
Right.
You know, so I'm sure.
And on that show, Manning has made a couple of comments about, you know, whenever he played the Patriots, he made sure he didn't have discussions by his locker. He would go into the shower to talk football.
Oh shit!
he didn't trust the Patriots visitors' locker room at all. So he's made a couple of jokes about that.
Oh, now I'm sure that's not endeared him to Patriot Nation.
Right. Exactly.
This is probably why Mac Jones blew him off.
Exactly. He had strict orders to blow them off if they called.
Right. You are not to be on that show. Because we won't want to tell him he may get that we're going to run the ball 46 times.
Oh, man.
So it was, and then fast forward, another intriguing game was yesterday, Thursday night football, where, you know, the Minnesota Vikings jumped off to what was like a 29-3 lead or some ridiculous 20, lead.
29-0, I think.
29-0.
Yep.
Some told me, said, these guys, man, you know, you could just tell all of a sudden he turned a whole lot of people into Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Because, you know, particularly as they gradually start creeping back.
Right.
And you're like, it's unbelievable. And they actually had a chance to like tie the game.
Right. And the funny thing is the betting, the spread was 3.5. So once they started to come back, I think everybody was hoping, you know, because a lot of people took Pittsburgh to at least keep it a close game, because you always feel like Pittsburgh's going to stay in the game. And Tomlin, you know, they always find a way to win games they're not supposed to, or at least keep it close. So I think, you know, I was watching it like it'd be very funny if they could just at least get it to within 3 at the end. And they had a chance that last – pass to the tight end gets broken up, but I mean they were right there. They had a chance to come back from 29-0, and it just, I mean, the Vikings do this every week. They just can't get out of their own way. I think all of their seven losses, I think, were by a combined 28 points or something ridiculous. So,
right. And how many times have you lost on the last play of the game?
Right.
You know, against Detroit, last play of the game.
Right.
Here, they could have lost on the last play of the game. You know, the tight end just got punished. I mean, that would have been a great catch, but they just like totally punished him. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That was, you know, it was a great defensive play, really. I mean, the guy, the safety came in and just raked the ball out of his hands, and they hit him at the same time. So it was, it was anything, it was far from a drop. You can't blame the tight end for that. Even though, you know, Ben put it right on the money, it's just, you know, sometimes it was just a great defensive play.
Yeah, I was looking for it to go to overtime. You know, why not?
Right.
Even though I was still pissed off at Pittsburgh for beating Baltimore the week before, you know, where Lamar couldn't make the play.
Yeah.
You know, where Lamar couldn't make the play, a tight end couldn't make the play. You know, neither one made it.
The two. Yeah. What did you think about that decision? Them going for two game.
Well,
you know, they could have tied it with the extra point. You didn't care?
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it. You know, and Tomlin said afterward, because you know, the Ravens are driven by analytics. And Tomlin said, no, I wasn't surprised they went. I mean, that's who they are. You know, we knew they were going to do it. You know, analytics. We knew they were going to do it.
Was that a shot? You think that was a shot?
I think, you know, maybe a little bit somewhere there that you play the game by analytics. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows that's what you're going to do. So, well, hell, they're going to do it because they always do it, you know.
Right.
And so you play the game by analytics. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, when they were doing that, I didn't like the call in the moment. I'm sure if they make it, then it's a whole different story, right? But in the moment, I didn't like it because I just feel like, you know, if you're the better team, you should feel like you're going to win and with an extra period.
And you got a field goal quicker who kick it from from like 95 yards out.
right.
You know, you can get like 10 yards from the 50-yard line.
Right.
And you're in range.
Yeah. So that was a little surprising. But, you know, his Harbaugh's excuse after the game was injuries. He said, he said his cornerbacks were hurt. He didn't feel like he had enough healthy players to go through it over time. I'm not buying that, honestly. I think that's just an excuse. What are they going to do this week? You know, I mean, you know, it's football. You got guys. You got enough guys to put out there. You can put a wide receiver and play quarterback if you have to.
Right.
You know, the NFL now, you know, we're coming down that stretch run, and it's pretty intriguing in terms of, you know, the top of each division. You know, you got the AFC, you got New England. Obviously, we just talked about them. Baltimore with Lamar. You got Kansas City with Mahomes. Then in the NFC, you got Kyler Murray in Arizona, Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, Tampa Bay with Brady, Dallas. I mean, these are all, you know, leading. They're all leading their divisions. Who do you like at this point? Look, I know you're glad that the Rams are on the outside looking in.
they play Arizona, right?
Right.
They play Arizona.
Yeah, that's a big game. Monday Buffalo, night.
Yeah, Monday night. That's going to be great. Then Buffalo goes into Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
You know, on the DVR of the stuff. I'm going to be in Winston-Salem, North Carolina on Monday. I'm being inducted into the Sports Media Association Hall of Fame. In Winston-Salem.
Oh, wow. Winston-Salem?
Monday.
So okay. Yeah, congratulations.
So I'm going to have to, thank you. I'm going to have to DVR that. And I'm traveling on Sunday. So I'm going to have to like record a lot of stuff. You know?
Right.
I'm really surprised at the extent to which I've really watched NFL football. I mean, like, look forward to it.
Right.
I want to say, you know, COVID related. You know, diversions.
Right. I mean, it's the greatest reality show there is, you know, sports in general. But, NFL, you know, the NFL rules. I mean, I'm right there with you. I every Sunday I'm watching. And if I'm gone, I'm just trying to sneak a peek on whatever device I have next to me. Yeah. So, or I'm in the car listening to NFL radio. You know, I'm always up on what's going on with the NFL. They got us hooked. What could you say?
what can you say? You know, I did watch a little bit of basketball. Mm-hmm. I watched the Lakers beat the Celtics, right. beat up the Celtics right. a couple of months ago. And actually, I watched the Nets beat up on Dallas a couple right. of months ago. I'm kind of glancing at the NBA. I haven't quite, you know, gone all in yet.
Right.
I'm sure.
Which is smart at this point because, you know, you got the trade deadline coming up. So teams will be, you know, probably look a little different the second half of the season. And then we'll get to see exactly, you know, what the NBA is shaping up to look like. But, you know, I mean, right now, and it's funny, you watch the Lakers beat up on the Celtics. And then last night they got beat up by the Memphis Grizzlies. So the Lakers are a mess. You know, I'm pretty confident that they're not going anywhere.
You don't think so?
I don't see it. I just don't. The makeup of the team, Westbrook. I mean, just, you know, a bunch of, like the nickname that the Knicks used to do, always get stars right. out right. You know, after their prime. You know, that's what they surrounded. They surround a 37-year-old LeBron, who's, don't get me wrong, when he's healthy, he still has it, but he's older. And he's, you know, he's obviously not healthy as like he used to be. But you surround him with all these older guys. I don't think. And when they won the championship a couple of years ago, it was because they had defensive minded players, and they don't have that anymore. And then now, you know, you just added egos to the mix. I just don't see it at all.
Yeah. So who do you have? The geriatric scene. You know, Russell Westbrook, you got Carmelo.
Yeah, you got Russell Westbrook, you got LeBron, Carmelo, AD, who's only 27, but he doesn't look like he's into it.
Seems like he's done. He's like, I won the championship, I'm good.
Yeah, that's how he's playing. Right. Yeah, I still haven't seen, you know, when he was dominating with the Pelicans, I haven't seen that version of him since, since he got to the Lakers, and I guess we saw glimpses of it when they won in the bubble. He was great defensively, but even, you know, he hasn't taken over completely like you thought he would, and LeBron could be like that second fiddle. And I heard a good point from someone the other day about, you know, them bringing in dominant personalities like Westbrook and Melo only makes him shrink even more because that's not really his personality, right? You're bringing in these guys that are going to demand shots themselves. So you just continue to take shots away from AD if he were going to step up.
Right. Yeah. So that's, you know, but, you know, he just maybe, we never know. I mean, you know, if they turn around and win a title, if they win a title, he's going to have to be a major part of it.
Yeah.
Put it like that.
Yeah. You know, he'd have to dominate. But I just don't see it. I mean, I'm watching them. Like we're saying, these are older guys, and the league is packed with talent and younger talent now, so you can just see it. You know, there used to be, even with LeBron. I mean, there was a time LeBron, and you know, even like 4 years ago, there was a time he would step on the court and he could just dominate physically and athletically. He was by far the most athletic, physical guy on the court every night, and that's not the case anymore. Now he's shooting three pointers. You know, he's more, he has to change his game. So he can't just go out there, you know, now you got guys who are trying to dunk on him, not the other way around.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, even the guy in Detroit, remember who was going to like flatten LeBron?
Right, you know, right.
Like open season.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But do you think, how are the Clippers? Do you think, I mean, it would probably spend a little more time than I thought on the NBA, but you say that they're not going to do anything, but what about the Clippers? What about, you know, I mean, it's not like they got somebody breathing down their neck. Yeah. Golden State, yes. And I guess Phoenix, yes.
Yeah, that's a good point, though, because their only saving grace is the Lakers' only saving grace is probably that the West is kind of weak this year compared to other years. Denver is decimated with injuries. The Clippers, Kawhi is not playing this year. You know, so, but you do have Golden State, who kind of came out of nowhere. No one really expected Golden State to be this good so soon, even when without Klay Thompson back. But they're the favorite. To me, Golden State and like you said, Phoenix are the favorites. To me, those two are light years ahead of the Lakers right now. I think, you know, I think the Lakers could mess around if they get their act together and be a top four team, but I don't think they can really compete with Golden State or Phoenix. Remember, Phoenix beat them last year in the playoffs, and Phoenix is kind of even better this year. And Golden State, you know, very good this year. The East looks a little stronger than it usually is. So, you know, but like you said, it's early in the season. We got to kind of let things shake out a little more. But early in all, I'm taking a shovel to the Lakers. I just don't, you know, I've seen enough of the Lakers to really be confident that they're not championship contenders.
Yeah. Well, I won't write them off yet.
I hear you.
No, we're not even. Let's talk about, you know, the All-Star game is sort of,
right,
to me, when the clock starts ticking.
Say goodbye to dull gifts. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the brightest gift of the year. Using cutting-edge technology and innovative techniques, they've cracked the science of sparkle, creating the highest quality lab-grown diamonds you can find at a light price, $800 per carat. They have the same chemical makeup of natural diamonds, but just are grown in a lab. Because of their process, they can create stones in blush pink and beautiful blue, as well as classic white. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the gift they'll never want to take off, priced so they won't have to. They really do make an outfit sparkle. Visit lightboxjewelry.com to add sparkle to your holiday shopping. That's lightboxjewelry.com. Lightbox diamonds, never a dull moment.
So what else we got in the world of sports? Tiger Woods, you know, and his son.
Yeah.
Playing. They'll be back. They're going to play in this, what, PNC Championship next week, right? December 18th.
Yeah, starts next week. So I guess that's his first. And I think the last competitive golf he played was this same event last year, I guess. Or was it last year or 2 years ago? Yeah, it was last year. Tiger Woods and Charlie, his son, his 12-year-old son. Well, he's 12 years old now, but last year Woods and his son came in seventh in the same tournament. So yes,
I wonder if he's going to get on him. Come on, Charlie, you can do better than that.
Probably. His father used to get on him, right?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I wonder how far Charlie will go. That'll be something to look at in the next 10 years.
Right.
You know, because how old is Charlie?
12.
So the next 10 years, I mean, right now it's cute.
Right.
You know, but there'll come a point, you know, when the pressure is going to start mounting. So, you know, are you going to be like your dad? Are you going to be anything like your dad?
Right. And that's really starts in about 4 or 5 years, that real pressure. Once he's about 16, 17, then it gets real, like, okay, is this kid, you know, is he getting scholarships to play golf? Is he going to go straight to the pros? Like, will he be at that level? So we'll know within 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have to get a Scott Tiger.
That's true. I mean, not that he needs a scholarship. I'm just saying if all the schools want him to play golf there.
Maybe he should go to A&T and play with, what's the name? He may still be there.
J.R. Smith. I think he's still there. I haven't heard as much as I was the first couple of weeks. I'm pretty sure he's still there.
I wonder how J.R. is doing. You know, how he's doing at A&T.
Yeah, I mean,
is he competing?
Yeah, he was competing. He was playing golf, and he was all over social media talking about, you know, it was so great, this the college experience for him. Because remember, he never went to college. He went to the pros straight from high school. So the whole college experience was new to him, and he was talking about having to write, you know, having to submit papers and do research. So, and he was enjoying it. So
I wonder if he's enjoying it now. You're like a millionaire or whatever, you know.
Right.
And you know what? I don't need this.
Yeah. Right. Right. But you know, his off campus living situation is probably much better than the normal kid. You know.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I wonder how A&T is doing in golf. Oh, they say this was October 24th. JR makes his NCAA golf debut and breaks record. No, he makes his, but somebody else breaks records.
I did see a clip of him where he like stepped on a beehive and got stung on the course.
Isn't that right?
So, you know, it sounds like it's been a little up and down as far as golf is concerned for him.
But, I don't know. I wonder if he thought that he was going to go there and just kind of blow everybody away.
Yeah. No, yeah, it doesn't look like it doesn't sound like he's done that, you know. But he was known as a solid golfer in terms of, you know, he was playing every day and he was known to be pretty good amongst other NBA players.
Right. But does that mean you could compete at the college level?
Right.
You know, and be on the golf team.
Right. We gotta check those stats, those golf stats.
I think we ought to do the check-in on a J.R. Smith check-in. How is he doing in golf and how is J.R. Smith doing in golf?
Right.
And speaking of check-ins, before we go, we talked about the NFL, but we didn't do our quarterback rankings. Has there been much change in our black quarterback power rankings?
Small changes. And the big one is we got a new number one, and it's really just because he came back and he's healthy now, and that's Kyler Murray.
Oh, wow.
And he got Arizona. He has them at 10-2. He came back last week, had a solid game, 2 touchdowns.
Against the Bears.
Yeah, no interception. Yeah, at Chicago, not great weather, so, you know, he had to run around a little bit. So the key was he showed he was healthy. And the real key is that Arizona has the best record in the NFL. So I got to put Kyler Murray back at the one spot. Then number two, Dak, 8-4. They won at New Orleans last Thursday. He had 238 yards, a touchdown, and interception. People have been a little down on Dallas lately, saying he hasn't been playing as well as he did early in the season. But, you know, I mean, this is the NFL season. This is how it goes. They've had a lot of injuries. The coach got COVID. Whole team, you know. We didn't talk about that, but the entire NFL and NBA have been ravaged by COVID in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, what's up with that? I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean the guys are like partying and just saying fuck it and just throwing caution to the wind? What is this? Because they just say someone comes out with COVID. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that guys are just out and about and just?
Well, we know they're out and about more than the average person, right? Because they have to be. They're traveling. They're in different states. They probably are, you know, to some extent. I'm sure some of them are going out and partying. I mean, it's not like this country's shut down anymore. So I do. I think it's a sign that the virus is really out there, and we got these variants. You still have the Delta variant. You got the Omicron variant, and I think, you know, for everyday people, I think we should look at, you know, what's going on with these athletes, and it's showing us that this virus is out there. You got guys who are vaccinated still getting it. You got people who are not vaccinated getting it. I mean, you got NBA teams. The Bulls had 4 or 5 guys, including DeMar DeRozan, that had to be shut down. The Charlotte Hornets had 4 or 5 guys, including LaMelo Ball, you know, who hasn't played in the last, you know, week or so. So it's all over the league. Masai Ujiri got it.
Wow.
Rick Carlisle from the Indiana Pacers just came down with it, and he's completely vaccinated with the booster. So it's out there. NFL-wise, just as bad. I mean, I play fantasy football. Half my guys have COVID. I can't play them. So it's affected my life, you know?
So what do you make of that? We need to have a couple of doctors on next show. Mm-hmm. Maybe I get Dr. Price on. Got to get as medical profession. What do they make of all this? You know, all these athletes just coming down with this stuff. Like, and you're right. And what does that say to the rest of us?
Right, it's out there, and you know, I mean, you got a bunch of athletes in each other's face. You know, all day in other, you know, playing against other players, and like, you know, just traveling, it's bound to happen. You know, I just feel like they're the people that are out there, you know, in all different types of situations, and the virus, and it's the winter now, so you're inside more. It's just, to me, it just shows me that it's out there. Be for the average person, just be careful. Keep, you know, wear your mask, get vaccinated, and just, you know, protect yourself, because the virus is out there. There's no question about it.
Question: the virus is out there. Should we be out there?
We probably shouldn't. But you know, they're not going to shut down the country again. It's all about the money. We know that. We talked about this, you know, a year and change ago when the virus first came. And it's here, and we're just trying to navigate through it. But, you know, I mean, you know, I got kids and young kids in school. I worry about it in that situation. It's, it's still out here.
Yeah. Wow. Well, on that sobering note.
On that sobering note, I'll go back. The first two were, like I said, Kyler Murray 1, Black QB Power Rankings. Kyler Murray 1, Dak 2, Mahomes steady at 3-8-4, had a rough game last week against Denver, but they won. Lamar is number 4, 8-4 still, but he's been struggling the last few weeks. And like you said, he took that loss last week to Pittsburgh, couldn't convert on a 2-point conversion. He's been struggling a little bit. Russell Wilson he's number 5. He bounced back, had a good game, and finally got a win versus San Francisco. He threw for 230 yards with 2 TDs. Bridgewater, steady Teddy. He's steady at 6. Jalen Hurts, 7. Tua, 8. Justin Fields, 9. And you got Cam bringing up the rear at number 10. He's back, but he's 0-2.
He's back. I'm back. A little premature, Cam.
Yeah, a little bit, you know. Yeah. I can't lie. When he did that I'm back thing, I kind of winced a little bit. I was like, I wanted to.
It was just so it almost like, how do I feel? Like kind of like, oh come on, man. Really?
Right.
It's a little much, Cam.
Right.
You know? I guess he really wanted to be back.
Yeah. He couldn't contain it. You know.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah. We get it. We get it. You know.
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe he breaks out. The infamy would be if he would get benched. Yeah. You know? Because now you look at that. And then you look at Matt Jones and you're like, shit, you know. Would Belichick, well, I guess if he was there, would they have run? I guess he would have had Cam running too.
You know? Oh, yeah. Cam would have had about 30 carries that day.
Right.
he would. I don't think he would have let Cam throw either in that.
No, he would. Yeah, really not going to let you throw, even if you can. So, all right, my brother. Well, listen, we're going to bring this episode to a close. It was always good catching up. Looking forward to the weekend's games.
Yep.
Looking for, looking forward to some NBA stuff, but primarily we're looking forward to the and next week in Atlanta we got the Celebration Bowl, the champions of the MEAC and the SWAC, Deion Sanders, Jackson State Tigers. Versus Buddy Pugh's South Carolina State Bulldogs down in Atlanta. I'll be down there.
Okay.
At the Celebration Bowl.
Who you got?
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm kind of pulling for the upset.
Okay.
Jackson State is heavily favored.
Right.
Because of Deion. And Deion has done a great deal for Black college football.
Right.
So, you know, but you always pull for the underdog.
What about Hugh Jackson takes the Grambling job? Remember, he coached the Browns and the Raiders, and now he was most recently the offensive coordinator at Tennessee State. He takes over the Grambling job. What do you think about that?
Good luck. I mean, it's good. I mean, I think it gets into this whole thing of these guys, these NFL pro guys, taking these HBCU jobs. You know, and Hugh, maybe it's the only way you get back in.
Right.
You know? Because I don't know if it was going to happen for him back in the NFL.
Right.
So, you know, that's the role that HBCUs play. But, yeah, good luck. Good luck.
Is it too much to say there might be a HBCU football resurgence or no?
I think it could be. Mm-hmm. A resurgence. In one way, not what it was in the 60s.
Right.
You know, but it could just be, you know, you kind of find your footing. You compete with each other. I don't know. We'll see, because you still have some schools jumping to white conferences.
Right.
And we'll have to find out how prevalent that's going to become, you know. But we'll see.
Before we go, thanks to the listeners, our loyal listeners. We really appreciate it. Continue listening wherever you get your podcasts, whether Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, etc. Follow us on social media at BrosPod on Twitter, at BrosPod on Instagram, and Bill Roden on Sports on Facebook. And of course, as always, we are brought to you by Bet Online. So go out there and, you know, hopefully you didn't bet on the Steelers +3.5 like I did.
Yeah, well, get them next week.
Yeah, get them next week.
Yeah. All right, Jamal. Well, listen, man, have a great, enjoy the weekend. Have a strong week. I'll see you next week. And to all of our hundreds of thousands of fans, continue to be safe. And, you know, like Jamal said, the stuff is still out there.
Oh, yeah.
So be careful. If you're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. And pray. So, okay, everybody. Be safe. Be careful. We'll see you next week. And God bless.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.